Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Black holes, the cosmos, space and time travel, science and technology. Brought to you by theoretical physicist, futurist, popularizer of science, and world-renowned author, Professor Michio Kaku.
And GCNLive.com.
This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Every week on Science Fantastic, we profile some of the most amazing developments in science and technology. And today, we're going to talk about some of the deepest mysteries in all of science. The two greatest mysteries in science, first of all, involve outer space. That is the Big Bang. Where did the universe come from? Is the universe the only universe there is? The mysteries of outer space. But today we're going to talk about the other great mystery, and that is the mystery of inner space. Believe it or not, what is sitting on your shoulders is the most complex object in the entire known universe. By scanning other stars, other solar systems, we do not see an object more complex than what is sitting on your shoulders right now, and that is the human brain. And just remember that the human brain historically has been a black box. That is, if you take a look at the ancient Egyptians, when they would embalm their pharaohs, they would often throw away the brain, thinking that the brain was pretty much useless. So throughout history, many people thought that perhaps the seat of consciousness was the heart rather than the brain. Things began to change, however, in the 1700s and 1800s, when gigantic wars raged over Europe, and people began to be injured. Brain injuries could then be correlated with movement, with parts of the body. And so people began to realize there could be a map that links the human brain to the rest of the body. And then in 1849, something very unusual happened. A railroad worker by the name of Phineas Gage was working with explosives. Unfortunately, the dynamite went off, and a 4-foot-long metal rod went right through his skull, pierced his face, came out the top of his skull, damaged a huge chunk of his brain, but he survived. Believe it or not, he survived for 12 more years, but people realized that he did not have a full recovery. His personality changed. All of a sudden, he became very crude and impolite, and people began to say, aha, maybe there's a link, not just between the brain and the human body, but the brain and even personality itself. Well, with us today to discuss all the maps that we can construct of the brain, connecting it to the body and our personality, is Rebecca Schwartzlow. She's a neuroscientist at Washington University in St. Louis, and the book is called Brainscapes, the Warped, Wondrous Maps Written in Your Brain and How They Guide You. So today we're going to talk about how we can gradually begin to decipher the mystery of the human brain. So Rebecca, first question for you is, when you were a child, what steered you in the direction of science and then eventually neuroscience?
Well, thank you for asking, Dr. Kaku, and thank you for having me. So I was a very curious child, and I always was, observing others and also kind of introspective, thinking about my own thoughts and why I noticed things and thought things as I did. And I have to say that, you know, over time, that became an obsession of mine, something that I passionately wanted to understand. And when I went to college and discovered that there were a whole field of studies that I could do, psychology and neuroscience, and build upon this wonderful foundation of work that exists, it was just really thrilling.
Okay, well, let's talk about your book, Brainscapes. You start with the year 1904. There was a war raging between Russia and Japan. Many soldiers lost their lives. Bullets would, of course, rip their body and even their brain. But one scientist, Tatsuji Inoue, realized that perhaps there was a laboratory that you could use all these victims of warfare and begin to piece together how the brain is connected to the rest of the body. So explain to us how Dr. Inoue was able to make one of the first maps of the brain.
Yes, thank you. So Dr. Inoue, there have been many physicians over time who have observed how damaged particular parts of the brain impair people's ability to perceive particular things or to act in particular ways. And that has kind of all along been a key clue as to what different parts of the brain do. So Dr. Inoue had a wonderful, he benefited both from wonderful technological prowess and he came up with a device that allowed him to measure brains and kind of compare across them. And he really came up with this project, even though his actual assignment was simply to evaluate. He was an ophthalmologist, so he was evaluating soldiers who had lost some of their vision from damage from wounds that they sustained during the war, and he had to characterize the lost vision so that the government could give them a suitable pension for their wounds. And he came up on his own with this idea of using the damage in the brain and how damages to parts of the brain connected to pieces of blindness, so what we call scotomas or patches of blindness in their visual field. And by linking those things up, he was able to piece together that first map of visual cortex.
Let me ask you a question. Common sense says that our eyes are connected directly to the brain. So in some sense, the brain has a visual image of what it sees right in front of itself. But you're telling me that the eyes, the optic nerves, are actually connected to the back of the brain, not the front of the brain. And therefore, what you see has a screen of some sort in the back of your head, which is the encoding of what you are looking at. Isn't that amazing?
It really is wild, and that's exactly what Dr. Inoue found, was that the map that is representing visual inputs is exactly at the very back of the brain, very far from the eyes. So the optic nerve carries the visual input from your retinas to a deep brain structure called the thalamus, which then carries it on to the back of the brain. In the process, though, these maps continue to, as they hand information from one map to another in the back of your brain, they are actually changing that information and shaping it in ways that allow you to perceive meaningful information from your visual input.
So isn't it true, therefore, that the visual image that you see with your eyeball right now is encoded in the back of your head like in a movie screen? That in some sense, in the back of your brain, there's a movie screen in which you can see upside down what you are looking at through your eyeballs. Is that right?
Amazingly, it is. It's usually not visible to the naked eye. So if I were to open up the back of your brain and try to see what you were seeing by looking at the back of your brain, it would just look like a brain. But there are ways that scientists can take the electrical activity in those maps and make them visible to the naked eye. And those various ways reveal that even though the maps represent information not in pigment or darkness and light, which is what our eyes can perceive, they represent information in frequencies of neural activity. But you can absolutely, and in many ways, many different ways scientists have, turn those maps visible so that we can see them. And there are some pictures in my book and many elsewhere in the scientific literature showing these maps that are literally on the back of your brain.
Okay, well, let's take a short commercial break. Once again, you're listening to Rebecca Schwartzlow's, the book is Brainscapes, the Warp wondrous maps written in your brain and how they guide you. And you're listening to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Give us a call at 612-564-8135, and maybe you can be on 100 radio stations that carry Science Fantastic. Give us a call.
The way things are going these days, do you ever ask yourself, when is the other shoe going to drop? The warning signs are everywhere. The next big danger is food shortages. That's why Americans are learning to be self-reliant and getting their emergency long-term food storage from My Patriot Supply. We're America's trusted leader in emergency preparedness. Over the past decade, My Patriot Supply has served millions of families and helped them prepare. Our delicious meal kits average 2,000 calories per day and stay fresh in storage up to 25 years. This is reliable food that will be there when disasters strike. And with the way things are going, you should grab some now. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com, order a starter kit for each member of your family, and we'll ship everything quickly and discreetly to your door. Don't wait and scramble with the masses when the news breaks. Instead, prepare today for what's coming. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Hey everybody, if you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with a high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Brought to you by Professor Michio Kaku. This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Once again with us today is Rebecca Schwarzlow. The book is called Brainscapes, and we're talking about maps that the brain uses to connect itself to the rest of your body. You know, throughout human history, people have wondered, what does the brain do anyway, and how does it control the body? For example, Sigmund Freud had a theory of the brain. He thought the brain resembled a steam engine, where you have pipes, and emotions and energy flowed in these pipes. Sometimes these pipes would collide, and the steam engine would explode, and you would have a nervous breakdown or a regression. And so the steam engine had an id, libido, and a superego, and it was like a steam engine. But then the telephone came into being at the turn of the last century, and people began to say, no, the brain is a switchboard just like what we have with the telephone. Then came the computer, and people said, no, it's not a switchboard, the brain is a computer. But the problem is that the brain has no operating system. It has no CPU. It's not digital at all. It cannot be a digital computer. So what is the brain? The brain is some kind of learning machine of some sort, but how does it learn? And one theory is that it learns through maps. So we talked a little bit about Dr. Inoue, who showed that what you see with the retina of your eye is encoded in the back of your brain, an image. An image that is encoded in the back of your brain. But now let's go to the work of Dr. Wilder Penfield. Dr. Penfield then creates a map, not just of the eyes, but the body itself. So tell us a little bit about the work of Dr. Penfield.
I'd be delighted to. So Dr. Penfield was a neurosurgeon, one of the pioneers of modern neurosurgery. And he was focused in particular on trying to treat patients who were suffering from epilepsy, who had epileptic seizures. And so what he would do is he would actually, for these patients who were suffering really debilitating seizures, he would open up their skull, and they would be awake during this procedure because they had a job to do. And because, thankfully, the brain itself does not have pain receptors, so they could numb the skull, open it up, and they would stick little teeny tiny electrode into the brain, and that would allow them to stimulate, put a little like electric signal in that would make some of the neurons below it fire. And what they would do while this happened, they would say, okay, we put this in. We'd say, do you feel anything? And then the patient might say, oh, I feel tingling on my right arm, or they might move their body. They might have a spasm where they'd have to kind of twitch their fingers. So these stimulations would allow Dr. Penfield to discern what the neurons in that particular spot in the brain were representing and kind of responsible for. And as he worked through there, he was trying to find the origin of their seizure, the place where some sort of instability in the brain created the beginning of this wave of excitation that creates a seizure in individuals. But in the process, he wound up learning an incredible amount about the maps of the body, so that map both of the surfaces of the body that we use to feel touch, and that could be, you know, pressure or heat, cold, pain. And this map is laid out roughly according to the layout of our physical body.
Okay, let me ask you a question here.
Mm-hmm.
There's a word in the English language called homunculus, which means little man. And some people say that the work of Penfield can be created, visualized as a homunculus sitting on the surface of your skull, going from your forehead to the top of your skull to the back of your head. So walk through with us in this map of this little man that is stretched on the top of your skull, from the forehead to the top of your skull to the back of your skull. What does this little man look like? The arms, especially the fingers, the tongue, where do they fit when you trace it on your own skull?
So if you were to wear a baseball cap, let's say, so a hat, and right under the kind of the button of the hat, so at the very top of your brain, at the top of your head, and kind of winding downward toward your ears on either side from the top of your head, that is roughly the location of these homunculi, these little men we Wilder Penfield named them, that are laid out like your body. And for example, for the touch map, you can think of it a bit like, so one half of your body is represented on the opposite half of your brain. So touch on your left half of your body will be represented in the strip of the map on your right top of your brain, and vice versa. And so your toes and your feet are actually represented in the kind of central fold, like in the center near the very top button. And then as you move downward toward the top of your earlobe, you're going to be passing over terrain that will represent your legs, your torso, your arms, and then your fingers and your thumb. And then it'll skip over to representing your face. And then there's a big area, there's a huge area that is dedicated to your mouth and tongue. And your fingers also are very large. They have kind of a very large real estate in this map. So your fingers and hands, and then your kind of mouth and tongue. And that mouth and tongue area and face area is reflecting the sensitivity of your face, and the hand, large territory in the hands, is part of what makes your hands so very sensitive.
Okay, now isn't it true that people in car accidents or people that have injuries to the skull, that the point of impact that caused damage to the skull would in general correspond to a disability in your arm, leg, torso, or whatever because of this map? So isn't it true that if you sustain brain injury, you can pretty much tell ahead of time, you know, plus or minus, where your body would be affected as a consequence?
Yes, that's one of the amazing things about these maps. And I think you're referring to the motor map, which is another homunculus that is right next to the touch map, and that controls movement of parts of the body. It actually sends messages from your brain to the muscles of your body to initiate action. So if we damage a particular part of that movement map, then we can somewhat predictably say that you're going to have trouble, for example, moving your right arm if you damage the portion of the left motor map that represents arm movement. It's exactly what your impairments will be can depend, because the motor maps have their own individuality from one person to the next, but absolutely you can stay on a gross level. You will probably have this kind of problem with using your body now.
Okay, now in popular psychology, sometimes people talk about left brain individuals and right brain individuals. The left brain is more analytical, they say. The right brain is more holistic. And therefore, depending upon your personality, you can tell whether or not your left brain or right brain dominate. Is this all hocus pocus, or is there some validity to this idea?
You know, I don't have an answer for you on that exactly. I do know because my work focuses more on the kind of more fundamental aspects of representing our world and moving within it. So I don't deal as much with personality in my own research, but there certainly is a lot of evidence that, you know, the human brain is kind of uniquely able to specialize between the two hemispheres in a way that other creatures don't as much. And that's how one of the ways that we are able to eke more out of our brains is that we are using, we can have our maps, which take up both sides of the brain. For example, the left and right hemispheres for the touch maps are doing very similar things to representing the touch on two sides of our bodies. But that there are other parts of our brain that can be more specialized for the left or the right side. So, for example, we tend to house, especially if you're right-handed, you tend to house most of your language facilities in your left hemisphere. So in this way, we kind of seems like we're with less. But how that translates directly or indirectly to personality, I wouldn't know how to say, beyond the fact that I can say that every person using both halves of their brain. None of us are leaving one half out.
Okay, Rebecca, we have to take another short commercial break, but afterwards we're going to continue a discussion of Brainscapes, your latest book. Once again, you're listening to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Give us a call. The hotline number is 612-564-8135. Leave your name, call letters to the radio station or the city you're calling from, and bingo, maybe your thoughts could be heard on national radio. So give us a call, because we're talking about what sits on your shoulders, the most complex object in the known universe.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
You USA Radio News.
I'm Brad Bernard. Haitian authorities have made more arrests in the assassination of the Haitian president, raiding Taiwan's embassy where several suspects are believed to have sought refuge. Interim Prime Minister Claude Joseph.
It is an act that should be condemned by the international community and is a threat to our region. And I believe it's necessary, it is more than necessary, to get the U.S. assistance and investigating.
Nearly 25 years after one of the worst air disasters in history, the wreckage from the Trans World Airlines Flight 800 crash investigation will be scanned into a 3D model before it is dismantled and destroyed through a decommissioning process. 230 people died en route from New York to Paris. This is USA Radio News. Pfizer and BioNTech said they will seek approval from the FDA for a booster shot of its COVID-19 mRNA vaccine. However, the FDA and CDC said that a booster is not necessary at this time. Here's public health expert Dr. Aditi Narukar.
Pfizer and other drug companies will continue to iterate whatever formulations they have, and that's not uncommon. And that's just something that they're doing, and they've been doing this for lots of vaccines and drugs, and it's just a natural process.
They expect a third dose to be even more powerful based on early data that has not yet been published or submitted to the FDA or other regulatory bodies. Despite most experts predicting that the Federal Reserve will raise interest rates as soon as 2023, an improving jobs market and rising inflation is leading the president of one Federal Reserve Bank to believe it should happen sooner, which would create an uptick on mortgage and refinance rates. This is USA Radio News.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Once again, our special guest today is Rebecca Schwartzlow. The book is called Brainscapes, The Warped, Wondrous Maps Written in Your Brain and How They Guide You. The author is neuroscientist Rebecca Schwartzlow at Washington University in St. Louis. She got her PhD from MIT, and today we're talking about the maps of our brain. Now, we talked about Dr. Penfield. By stimulating certain parts of the brain once it's exposed during surgery, you could make an arm or a leg move. However, he also found that by stimulating certain parts of the brain, memories old memories can be retrieved, which is amazing because it means that certain memories are actually locked in certain parts of the brain. Now, most memories are actually short-term memories are done through what is called the hippocampus at the very center of the brain, but long-term memories are a mystery. And so the question is, how does the brain remember, given the fact that memories are so complex? Are memories cut up into pieces and distributed throughout the brain? How was it that Dr. Penfield was able to elicit memories by using electrodes and touching parts of the brain?
That's a wonderful question. So absolutely, especially as in Penfield's later writing, he explored more of the temporal lobe and areas of the brain that we tend to associate with memory formation and also memory retrieval. And so one of the things that I discuss in my book is that although brains are just chock full of maps, like the ones that we've spoken about that represent actions and spaces and sensations, there are other parts of our brain that work not by a map, but via what I would call a distributed population code, a code. And in this way, these code areas are very good at learning new things. And they work by one cell may be able to participate in representing many different memories or many different locations in an environment. And so if you stimulate one of them, it doesn't mean that you've necessarily found the place where that memory is stored, but you have found a part of the representation of the memory which can trigger the greater experience. So as you said, we often think that memory can be distributed once you consolidate it, and so that pieces of your memory are essentially kind of in the connections between different parts of your brain. And these codes allow you to basically kind of, they're pathfinders, how you can kind of get those pieces back together again and reinstantiate that memory.
Okay, well, there is a theory that you alluded to that memories are chopped up, and there's a certain part of the brain dealing with people's faces, a certain part of the brain dealing with animals, a certain part of the brain dealing with not just faces, but people, but places that you've been. And the brain reassembles these memories to create the memory that you want to retrieve, meaning that every memory that you retrieve is basically homogenized. It's basically been broken down and reassembled. And that's why memories get fuzzy. That's why memories become imprecise. That's how false memories can enter into our discussion. So has that theory held up?
I think yes, in many ways, that there is a cortical representation of long-term memories, but that they are still, they're very much linked to these codes. So you would not say that the memory is, for example, in your visual map of something that you see. But when you remember it, when you call it to mind, that those population codes allow you to, through their connections, create in your visual map.
Okay, Rebecca, we have to take another short commercial break. But afterwards, we're going to continue discussion of your latest book, Brainscapes, because we're talking about the maps of the human brain itself. And the number to call if you want to get on Science Fantastic is 612-564-8135.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamel Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Deb's constipation with belly pain, discomfort, and bloating kept giving her grief. She talked to her doctor to get some relief. Turns out Deb had irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C, which was a start. Saying yes to Linzess helped her do her part.
Linzess, or linaclotide, is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. Linzess works differently than laxatives. It lets you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually. Do not give Linzess to children less than 6, and it should not be given to children 6 to less than 18. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. There could be more to your story with IBS-C. Talk to a doctor today. Say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS. Sponsored by AbbVie and Ironwood Pharmaceuticals.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you, too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Yes, the pandemic is coming to an end. Restrictions are coming to an end. But body aches and pains never seem to end. That's why you need to click sunny-bay.com for the best sleep you can get. Sunny Bay's legendary products can help, like our lavender stress-reducing products, locally sourced and handmade in the USA. Or try Sunny Bay's award-winning pillows for traveling or extra neck support while sleeping. No need for pills or expensive chiropractic visits. Our neck support pillows are that good. Sunny Bay is a homegrown, small business, but our products are designed and rigorously tested based on your demand and feedback. And they make great gifts for mom, dad, or anyone. Find Sunny Bay products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, or at sunny-bay.com. And right now, get free heat patches and a belt with any purchase. So remember, Sunny Bay heating pads, neck pillows, and stress-relieving hot or cold wraps. As restrictions come to an end and you get back to work, do it the healthy way with Sunny Bay.
Brought to you by Professor Michio Kaku. This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Today we're talking about one of the greatest mysteries in all of science, and that is, what is sitting on your shoulders right now? The most complex object in the known universe, your brain. So we've talked about having maps of the brain, how the brain connects itself to the rest of the body. But then the next question is, well, what do we do with it? Well, the United States Pentagon is very much interested in funding this research because of all the GIs from Afghanistan and Iraq that suffer from spinal cord injuries, that are paralyzed, but are otherwise, their mental state is healthy. And so the question is, can you bypass the spinal cord by putting a chip, a brain chip, directly on the surface of the brain, according to where Penfield identified certain parts of the brain, and connecting it to an exoskeleton that allows you to walk, allows you to move around, control a wheelchair, control a computer, and the World Cup soccer games in São Paulo, Brazil, was actually initiated by a totally paralyzed individual that at Duke University, they hooked his brain to an exoskeleton, and this paralyzed individual made world history by kicking the football even though he was paralyzed. So let's talk about BCI, brain-computer interface. So where are we now, Rebecca, in terms of connecting the brain to a chip and connecting that chip to a laptop, and the laptop in turn can be connected to the internet or connected to an exoskeleton? How far has this technology gone?
I love that question. It is really exciting development in brain-computer interfaces, where we have made, you know, in the last couple of decades, we have made a lot of progress in terms of learning how to read information out of particularly our brain maps. and use them to, especially the motor, the movement map that I discussed before, you can use that to then send information to a computer. Currently with our, we have these artificial intelligence, a version of artificial intelligence called machine learning. They have algorithms that allow us now to figure out what specific neurons are representing very quickly. And that's made a lot more progress in recent years for brain-computer interfaces. We can very quickly decode exactly what the part of the map that we expose, what the specific neurons within it are representing, and then the computer can take that information, that decoded information, and translate it into directions for a robotic arm or for other devices. There's been a great deal of progress and there's a lot of hope for this technology, but there are also a lot of difficulties and hurdles to overcome. A lot of it has to do with the fact that these technologies, generally to be the most effective, they need to involve placing electrodes within the human brain. So they're very invasive. They involve, creating a hole in the skull and putting things into your brain. And then one of the other problems with that is not just invasive, but it tends to be rather dangerous that over time, having electrodes in your brain, it's one thing to have them there for a minute or two, like Penfield did. But if you wanted to leave them in there and have them be in there and functioning and able to listen to neurons for, 10, 20, 30 years, that's very challenging right now. The electrodes get corroded. Individuals who have these implants in their brain can have a lot of infections. They can have seizures. So there's a lot of remaining kind of medical and sort of practical issues that remain to be resolved to make this mainstream.
Now, when people talk about brain-computer interface, many people think of the movie The Matrix, where memories were inserted into the brain of Keanu Reeves. Now, however, at Wake Forest University in North Carolina and the University of Southern California, they've taken mice, recorded impulses across the hippocampus of the mice where memories are recorded, and they've been able to tape record snippets of memory, which can then be sent on the internet. Now they're working with primates. And the question is, what happens with humans? Will we one day be able to tape record memories and insert them into the living brain? Well, let's take another short commercial break. Once again, you are listening to Science Fantastic. Give us a call. The hotline number is 612-564-8135. Give us a call.
Have a home that you don't want anymore? We can buy it from you within 24 hours, any home, size, or condition. For over 20 years, we've been buying homes for cash and helping homeowners sell their homes immediately with no listings or strangers walking through your home. Are you moving? Did you lose your job? Going through a divorce? Whatever the reason, if you're in a bind and you know that you need to sell your house fast, call the expert team at I Need to Sell My House Fast. We'll make you a serious cash offer to buy your home in 24 hours and let you walk away from it. No listing, no waiting. Sell any home, any size, any condition now. Call the expert team at I Need to Sell My House Fast. Make this free call now.
800-475-0092. 800-475-0092. 800-475-0092. That's 800-475-0092.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
I know I need to pay attention to my health.
but I just can't seem to find the time. Between rushing to work and taking care of the kids, there's not much time left over for me. So I decided to start small by eating more fruits and vegetables and being more active. And then I got the family to make some changes, too. We started by keeping a bowl of fresh fruit on the counter, and I limit the amount of sweet snacks I keep in the house. I've also found some creative ways to add more vegetables to our meals. We're taking more walks, and on the weekends, we head down to the pool at the rec center. It doesn't happen every day, but it does happen. You don't have to change your entire life to be healthier. Just make some simple changes and include your family. You'll see how easy and fun it can be.
You can make a difference. Eat smart, play hard. And when you do, your kids will too. A challenge from USDA.
Having your own home is awesome, but it's also a lot of work. The good news? Finding help for your projects is easier than ever. Introducing Angie, the app that puts all your home care needs at your fingertips. Need a pro to fix that emergency leak? Maybe find someone to build a deck, or even set your seasonal tasks on autopilot. Angie can handle all that and more. Expert pros, hundreds of home projects, clear pricing, and the easiest way to book and pay in seconds. This is Angie, your home for everything home. Download the app today.
Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Once again, our special guest today is Rebecca Schwerslow of Washington University in St. Louis. The book is called Brainscapes, The Warp Wondrous Maps Written in Your Brain and How They Guide You. And Rebecca, I understand that you want to mention and thank some of the funders of your book and research. Could you just briefly mention that?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Thank you for that. Brainscapes was supported by a grant from the Alfred P. Sloan Foundation, and specifically they have this wonderful program in public understanding of science and technology, which funds wonderful work bringing books and plays and television shows and movies that explain and bring science to a general audience. So I want to thank them for their support of Brainscapes.
Okay. Now, also, this is beginning to enter the public domain in popular culture. In Japan, for example, you can buy a headset which measures overall brain electrical activity that you put on top of your skull. And at a party, when you talk to someone who's very interesting, it detects the activity of the brain, and it's connected to two ears. These two artificial ears then perk up, and you actually can see that the person is interesting that you're talking to because their ears perk up. However, when you talk to someone who's boring, your brain activity level goes lower, and the two ears go, and fall down. So, you see, in Japan, you always know ahead of time whether you're going to go home alone after a party. Now we have Elon Musk of SpaceX investing in a commercial application of this technology. So tell us a little bit about the fact that this is now beginning to enter popular culture. Video games can now be played mentally by putting on a helmet again and guiding the projectile mentally. But what do people like Elon Musk want to do, including Facebook, where they want to make money on this technology? What are your thoughts?
Yes, well, so a lot of what's moving forward right now in terms of the applications for brain-computer interfaces tend to have two kind of prongs. Some of them are exclusively devoted to medical applications and helping people who have had brain or body damage. But there are also many companies and kind of investors who are interested in how you can commercialize this technology. And specifically, a lot of it is focused on how you can make things easier, or it would be cool to be able to, for example, talk to your AI assistant in your head or type with your mind rather than your fingers. And so this is kind of part of one potential vision for how in the future we might interact with our computers is directly through our brains. I think there are a lot of questions that remain with that kind of use for this technology. As I mentioned, it already faces challenges for medical uses because there are some remaining hurdles that need to be overcome to make them this technology safe and something that you can have for a long time. For these more popular applications, you can have them outside the brain, as you said, because they don't have to be as precise. And you can still read things out of the brain. In fact, you get a trove of data by listening in with electrodes that are just placed on the surface of the scalp. And what I would say is I think we should be thinking as a society about how we want such information to be used as we put on potentially caps or other kinds of devices that are able to read some information. It's not going to be mind reading or the Matrix, but it will be able to read some valuable medical and cognitive information from our brains. And if that information is then going to a corporation who is looking to profit off of data about users, then we have to be very cautious about, you know, how are we going to put into place protections to make sure that our privacy, our neural privacy, is protected.
Now, as I mentioned, scientists at Wake Forest University in North Carolina and University of Southern California are doing brain chips. That is, they're taking memories in primates now, created by electrical impulses in the hippocampus of the brain, recording it, and then playing it back. Snippets of memories can now be recorded and inserted into another primate. Some people think that this could be the beginning of a brain chip for Alzheimer's patients, that Alzheimer's could be one of the diseases of the century, with millions of people wandering around not knowing who their loved ones are, getting lost, and it may be possible to push a button, and the brain chip, just like a heart chip, would then activate your hippocampus and insert snippets of memory into your hippocampus. What are your thoughts about research on these lines?
Well, I think that it depends on what you mean by memory. For example, if you and I were to see the word bird or hear a bird chirping, there are ways in which especially the back half of our brain would be similarly active. So, for example, that concept or that particular, if we saw a picture of a bird, would activate our brain similarly. And as a result, you and I looking at a bird or hearing a bird will activate our brains in very similar fashions. But then I think for most memories that being able to communicate that at that level from one brain to another, I think is something that might be feasible someday. Certainly, you know, in many ways we do it when we speak to each other. We are communicating and reinstantiating in someone else's brain the information that we are representing in ours. But in terms of implanting a meaningful, specific memory in another brain in a way that is, I think, what we associate with memory, I think that would be a much more challenging feat.
Okay, well, unfortunately, we have run out of time. Once again, our special guest today was Rebecca Schwartzlow of Washington University in St. Louis. The book is called Brainscapes, The Warped, Wondrous Maps Written in Your Brain and How They Guide You. And you've been listening to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. You can always give us a call at 612-564-8135. Leave your name, call letters of the radio station, and the city you're calling from or the website you're listening to. And hey, maybe you can get on 100 radio stations that carry Science Fantastic.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system.
colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, AmeriCare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.